Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, December 20th, 2016, and tonight we have quite a layout of people and brothers and sisters and warriors for you this evening. So without further ado, we will switch our microphone to Brother Ralph for Ralph's Creed.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our labors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, moved lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. Now, my brothers and sisters, it becomes more obvious every day that the reality of our circumstances as oppressed people cannot be avoided. Death in the streets, unemployment, etc., etc., etc. Whites and blacks in uniform, killing people of color, and juries find them not guilty. Black lives have not mattered in America ever. People of color lives in America have not mattered ever. And one of the things that I realize when I talk to people, immigrants, newly Americans, people who have just come to America. Some have gotten citizenship, some have not. Some avoid everything governmental, and they come to work. And one of the themes that is constant with the people who have come here from around the world is America has stolen everything from my country. So I come to America to get a little back. And this is what we're looking at. And we will discuss continuation of the discussion of America as a nation that is becoming ungovernable, and Americanism and disaster capitalism, and continue with the examination of the anatomy of oppression. What is the Electoral College? And we will lead off this discussion with Brother Larry Pinckney, and as we state, our aim is the freedom, our goal is the freedom of all political prisoners. And Larry Pinckney, an ex-political prisoner, ex-Black Panther, will lead off our discussion this evening on the subject that he would like to handle. Larry, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, my brother. I want to, as always, give my kudos to Sister Professor Betty Davis, to our dear warrior, people's lawyer, dear warrior, Sister Lynn Stewart. I'm looking forward to hearing from Ann Lamb and from Tom and from Joel and from everyone else who's going to call in and be a part of this radio show. First and foremost, I want to say all power to the people, and we must free our political prisoners. Now, you know, people might say, well, you know, we've had an election and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we've had an election, it's election, whatever. The bottom line is the struggle goes on. The struggle never changes. It did not change. The struggle
right.
continues. We have to free our political prisoners. Let's not get, you know, let's not digress and get diverted by nonsense, okay? Whoever's in the White House, I mean, Obama, the drone man, Barack Obama was in the White House. Now we're going to get Donald J. Trump. Why are we getting diverted? We must emphasize our own communities, plural, communities, black, white, brown, red, yellow, okay? And we need to concentrate on what we, the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, can do and must do in our own community. And that segues right back to what? Segues right back to our political prisoners, all of them who are languishing in U.S. gulags. We've got to stop depending and looking to the government to do something about what they themselves have brought about. For God's sake, when will we ever learn? We've got to do for ourselves, we the people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, all of the people, all right, men and women, women and men, we do it together in this struggle. Not only is this a national struggle, this is a global struggle. This is a struggle which affects all of us directly, whether we choose to recognize it or not. So, having said that, I want to emphasize, you know, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but a sister, and she may in fact be the first indigenous native sister. I don't know if this is accurate, but I do know that the that an electoral college member, elector, if you will, put her name forth as being someone who should be president, if you will, of the U.S. I had to laugh. It was hilarious to me that the after the system put forth actors and actresses and everybody calling for switch your vote, switch your vote, switch your vote from what to what? Get real.
Right.
But anyway, it was really kind of funny to me because one of the electors, the Democratic Party, switched their vote to to an indigenous native sister, Sister Spotted Eagle. All power to the people, you dig? And I think this might have been, I do not know if it was the first time that an indigenous native person was actually put forward by an elector of the so-called Electoral College. But I am so glad, and I want to send out my kudos to whoever that elector was, who had the courage to switch their vote from, I don't know, Clinton. Yeah, it actually was Clinton. To this indigenous native sister. All power to the people. Right on. Because the indigenous native people were the first people, are the first people. And I want to thank him or her, I think it was a him in this case, for doing that for the sister who is definitely a her, Sister Spotted Eagle. And, you know, we have much to be proud of, but you know what? Our job is to continue this struggle. Stop whining. Stop laying down. Stop, so-and-so's in the White, doesn't matter who's in the White House. After all, it is called the White House. Have you stopped to think about that? But anyway, even when Obama, you know, it was still about the White House, and the drone man made sure that he paid his dues, if you will, to those who supported him. And it was not the people, the everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. Why? Because we were pimped, used, abused, and bamboozled. It is time for us to hone in on our local, everyday communities. We will make a difference. That's what it's all about. So getting back to what I always want to talk about is our political prisoners. Our political prisoners who are suffering in U.S. gulags. Let's keep our attention focused on that. Let us not digress and be diverted and all this and that. No, the system itself is rotten to the core. I repeat, the system itself is rotten to the core. We understand that. Well, then let's act like we understand it. And let's stay focused. Let's stay focused on what this struggle is about for all ordinary, everyday, struggling people. I'm not going to go on and on. I know there are many other people who want to speak. But I want to say this to you, that we, all of us, must make the difference in our own communities, locally, for everyone, for our homeless people, for our youth, for our senior citizens, for everybody, for the millennials, everybody. Let us come together. Let us understand that we have a common purpose. And what is that common purpose? It is to change this system, S-Y-S-T-E-M. The system is rotten to the core, and this is what we must understand. Let us free all of our political prisoners, Mumia, Seth, Leonard, all of them. Our sisters and brothers must be free, and you know who's going to free them? Us. No one but us. All power to the people. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that, Larry. One of the things that we all understand is in this past election, there was nothing in it for people of color. As a matter of fact, we failed to make any demands of the democratic system. Now, you're going to hear more about that from a representative of the Uhuru organization, Black is Back. Kianga will be on to talk about there is nothing in this election for people of color. But at this time, to save time, I would like to bring on our sister, Lynn Stewart. Lynn, are you in the house?
Lynn. I am Ralph. I'm suffering from a bad headache, but I'm here, and I just wanted to say to everybody, I spent almost a large part of the day sending letters and books and cards to our political prisoners. I used the anarchist list of addresses. I could have used the Jericho list. Yes, the Jericho list, but I had this handy and I used that, and I will go back over it. And when you do that, when you have to deal with each one and you realize how many of them there are and how worthy they are and what they did with their lives, which was to safeguard the people in so many ways, so many times it was done as a defensive act. In fact, that they remain in jail. And we know again that this Obama, he doesn't have the courage of anything. He is a weakling and a coward. He, once again, did not free even one political prisoner. All of his list, they are worthy. I'm not saying they're not worthy. They may well be worthy. They're part of the terrible purge that has put black men in jail and that caused Ralph, when he first went to Rikers, to say, here is my army. Yes, here is all our army rotting in the jails. And here are our generals, and our generals are the political prisoners. And I must say that in going over them, remembering the names of people, all of the Move 9, all of the Africas, remembering Mumia, remembering someone who is the poster person of our movement for putting political prisoners, Seth, Jaleel, all of them are so important and have so much to contribute still. And I just spent the day doing that, and I would urge others to do the same. If you can't send a card to everyone, if you can't send a book to everyone, you can certainly pick out 5 or 6 and just send a card or a greeting, because I can tell you from personal experience how important it is. It's important when you're in jail because you are so cut off. You are cut away from your family, your friends. You are isolated, whether you're in solitary confinement or in, quote, population. You are still isolated. And that is one way not to be isolated, is to receive a card from someone on the outside who says, we're still thinking of you, we're still fighting for you, we're going to keep it up. And the second reason is probably more important, as Ralph reminded me this afternoon, and that is because the jail takes notice. The jail knows that we have people that are not nobodies. We are people who stay with our people. We are people who have respect, and that we will not abandon our warriors. Even if we're not able to always fight to get them out, we have that ability to make sure the prison understands these are important, very important people, VIPs. And I believe they will be treated differently based on the amount of mail. And it sounds a little silly. Sounds like the old times in Hollywood. How much fan mail?
Hello? Hello, Lynn, are you there? Lynn wasn't feeling well. She must have dropped her phone. And so we're going to go to the last. Well, Tom, are you in the house?
Yes, I am.
Will you give us an analysis of what has been happening today?
Well, I am so glad that Lynn Stewart pointed out that this so-called president this wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's what I call all of the presidents, wolves in sheep's clothing. Of the hundreds of prisoners that he has pardoned or lessened their sentences, not one was a political prisoner. And that shows you truly what kind of a president Barack Obama is. He's just another wolf in sheep's clothing. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Donald Trump is coming to town. Now, I think it's disgusting and unbelievably hypocritical that the Democratic Party is crying crocodile tears that Donald Trump won the Electoral College. They never made an issue of the Electoral College in the past, and because from time to time this so-called checks and balances and Electoral Colleges and all that, it serves the interests of both parties. Both parties are nothing more than the tools of the ruling class. But we have something sort of new that has happened with Donald Trump. He, unlike Clinton and the Bushes, and especially Obama, he does not wear sheep's clothing. He is a wolf that is clearly a wolf. And therefore, I think that this is a blessing in disguise for the American people. They know it's going to be much harder. I think it was you, Ralph, that said that that our country is becoming more and more ungovernable. It's going to be much harder now for the ruling class to govern this country, because the overwhelming majority of people in this country realize that this country is not a democracy. It was not founded as a democracy. It has never been a democracy. And that the whole system, even Trump admitted it, is rigged. So it's going to be very difficult. So what is happening? Trump, who criticized Obama for putting Wall Street in charge of the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve, the first thing he has done is he has selected people right out of Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, big bankers, CEOs of the biggest corporations to be his advisors. They cannot take a chance with Trump. So they're going to make sure that they have him totally under their thumb, because Trump, he has a tendency to be a wild card. So now he's surrounded very, very firmly by Wall Street to make sure that he plays the game. And he's going to play the game, because if he doesn't, you know what's going to happen to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I have to say. And the bright spot on the horizon is that the American people, they know now more than any other time in our history that this whole system is rigged and that it is run by the one half of 1%, the multi-billionaires on Wall Street, the big bankers, finance capital, and the biggest corporations. And that's the way it is. It has always been, and now the majority of people are fully aware of this. And that's the bright spot on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Tom. And in brief, as Lynch said before the night of the election, that people have been conned by the Democratic Party for a long time, and now we're going to be conned by the Republican Party. There are no jobs coming back to the Rust Belt. They're not going to change anything. Obama promised hope and change, false hope and short change. And Trump is promising to bring jobs back. There will be no jobs. But without my continuing, we're going to give Tariq a chance to pick up where he left off last week. I hear an echo. Oh. Somebody's phone is going. Tariq, are you there? Are you ready?
Tariq, peace, Ralph. Peace, Brother Ralph. Peace, Sister Betty Davis. And I want to say a special peace to Sister Lynn, and I wanted her to know that she is our gasoline that permit us to go forward. She is an inspiration to me, and she's an inspiration to a lot of people. So I want to say that, and I want to say power to the people. As you know, I am Tariq.
Thank you for that, Tariq. Thank you very much.
Yes, Lynn. Yes, Sister Lynn. I am a former Black Liberation Army prisoner of war. I spent 17 years in various American concentration camps. And as I say, we live in a bipolar world. On one end is the 1%. On the other end are revolutionaries, especially our prisoners of war. We have to free our prisoners of war. Tonight, I wish to briefly talk about the Trump selection and the racist rants from people like Trump, Hitler, Mussolini, and why they resonate with insane racists. And I want to say that the 1% selected Trump to be the president, so his presence and the presence of his cabinet, mostly rich business persons, would signal to the hopeless Americans to have hope, because people like Trump dug the economic hole that America is in, and the American people should believe the rich can bring America back up. As you know, a significant number of American business persons uprooted their businesses with workers making $30 an hour and replanted their businesses in faraway lands with a labor force that can be put to work for 30 cents an hour. The difference, discriminatory factor, is $29.70 an hour. The consequence of the move has meant many Americans lost their jobs or were forced to work at $8 an hour. In either case, the American worker lost their house, their car, and their way of life. Now it is evident that after they lost their physical valuables, they then lost hope. The 1% selected Trump to at least give the workers hope. But we revolutionaries know the rich are for the rich. The fact is, the presence of Trump and his rich cabinet members will turn out that the 1% have put a peace in place that will enable them to continue to do what benefits and promotes the rich. Moreover, the rants of racist demagogues like Trump and Mussolini resonate with other races because they articulate a psychological drama with the same character roles found in the lives of insane races. Let's look at an example of this psychological drama. Trump says he's going to build a wall at the American border to stop the admittance of Mexican drug dealers, rapists, and murderers. In this drama, the principal protagonists are bad Mexicans, a good Mexican, the Mexican president, the most vulnerable citizen, an American woman, and the seeming good guy, the president-elect, Mr. Donald Trump. He feels the American people should select him rather than the other candidate. When we look at the life of an insane racist, we see him grappling with a micro version of the international drama articulated by the president-elect. the racist principal character is a dad who is often a bad character, sort of like a drug-crazed, murdering rapist. Also, there is seemingly the momentary functional dad. Additionally, there is the vulnerable woman, the mother who has to be protected from the hostile dad, the seeming good guy who feels his mother should choose to solely love him and not his father. One drama is micro, and the other drama is macro big. Rather than laughing at Trump's rants, now that we know the 1% is carrying out a psychological operation against the masses, revolutionaries have to train them to be a real human. Revolutionaries have to train the masses to think of themselves as intelligent, courageous, decisive, and to know they are the most valuable entity in the world. Then yeah. once they would struggle to do what is really in their best interest. And I just want to say about the Electoral College, Trump being selected by the Electoral College, that's something that all the people should study, and they will see that Alexander Hamilton was a principal contributor to the creation of the Electoral College, and the Electoral College is like tailor-made for this type of situation. 1% feel the need. They feel the need to put a person like Trump in at this time to try to give the American people hope, because they're saying that Trump is a semi-successful businessman and he's going to bring that acumen to the whole American economic situation, and therefore they should have hope. But they are not going to do what they promised to do, because they only lie when they tell people what these things that they tell people. But people should check out the Electoral College, because Alexander Hamilton and them, they said we cannot. Alexander Hamilton and them said they cannot let the American people choose the president directly, because the American people are stupid. And this is what they said. When you read the Federalist Papers and other documents written by Alexander Hamilton, he mm-hmm. is clear. The American people are too stupid to be allowed to be the ones to elect the American president. So that is what has taken place. And Alexander Hamilton, as I say, was one of the principal persons that did that. So we have to be our own liberators, and we have to be the ones right. who author the improvement in our situation by carrying out revolutionaries and freeing our politicals, our prisoners of war. Thank you, Ralph, and Lynn, and Betty.
Thank you, Tariq.
Thank you so much for that, Tariq. And remember, Tariq is a political prisoner. Most of the people speaking on this program are either political prisoners who are closely related. Now we're going to open up the mic for 462. Yanga, are you there? 4642.
Don't forget me, Ralph.
I will never forget you, Ann. 4642. Are you there? I see no answer for 4642. 4642. 456. 4642. Are you there? Hello?
Are you there? Hello? Hello?
Yes, we're here. Speak.
I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I just appreciate this show. I think it's a beautiful thing that people are actually speaking about what is really happening versus all the rhetoric that everyone seems to be following and falling for the okey-doke, which we've done for so long. You know, the system has been one way for a very long time, and they want to have people believe that it's going to change, that it's going to be different, that it's going to do something in the best interest of the masses, when it never has and it never will. And I just want to thank all of you, the revolutionary prisoners, the people who have put their lives on the line, the people who have stood up for all of us. When a lot of people don't have the ability to stand for themselves. And I just think it's so key. And I support every last one of you. I have a young child, and I am teaching him just what you've done, just what it is to be someone who thinks and not to follow the masses. If everyone's thinking the same thing, nobody's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just so poignant and so key that there are those out there who know what are going on, who knows what's going on. They try to keep us from talking the truth, but the fact that you have a show and you're willing to do this is just a beautiful thing, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you for coming on and expressing that. And we are going to go to Miss Political Prisoner herself. That is Ann Lamb, who does the work that we speak about. And it is so important, as Lynn said, the prisons know who has the attention of the public because they can check their mail. And one of the sad things has been brought to our attention that Matulu has 5,000 signatures, and we were looking for 100,000. No reason in the world why we shouldn't have 100,000 signatures from Matulu Shakur. People, if you could reach out, and I've kind of given up on the churches. I look at these televangelists, these black televangelists, and it would make you cry or laugh because the train is coming down the road and our head is on the rail. We better be aware. But I'm going to switch to Sister Ann to tell us more about our political prisoners. Ann, are you there?
I am here. I'm in the house, as we say. Thank you, Ralph, especially for bringing that up about our beloved freedom fighter, Dr. Matulu Shakur. If you go to jerichony.org and you scroll down the left-hand side, you will see a link to the petition. Please go and sign the petition. Tell your friends to sign the petition. Tell your coworkers to sign the petition. Tell your union members to sign the petition. There's no reason not to sign this petition.
Okay.
Now, just yesterday, speaking of our prisoners of war, I got a letter from Jaleel.
Yes.
As you know, as I said last week, Jaleel has been in the shoe since December 6th. So now we have the details of why Jaleel is in the shoe. And this is very important because Jaleel has been not languishing. Nobody's languishing in prison. Everybody is doing work. So Jaleel has been working hard for the past 45 years, all right, educating his community where he is. So he writes this letter. It was dated December 14th. Dear Ann, as you probably heard, I've been placed in shoe with a penalty of 8 months, suspending 4 months for 6 months, having to do 4 months. The charges were 105.13, gangs. 105.11, unauthorized addresses. 105.14, unauthorized organization. 104.11, violent conduct. And 104.12, demonstration. Excuse me. This all stems from a class on black history that I was approved to give and had been teaching for a couple of months, starting in 1861-62 with the Confiscation Act, and now in the 1960s dealing with the Black Panther Party. During the course of the lecture, I presented the 8 points of attention. 1, speak politely. 2, pay fairly for what you buy. 3, return everything you borrow. 4, pay for everything you damage. 5, do not hit or swear at people. 6, do not damage the property or crops of the poor oppressed people masses. 7, do not take liberties with women. 8, if we take captives, do not ill-treat them. This was presented discussing the ethics of the Panthers and how these points of attention engendered good relationships with the people in the community. I should have known they would ignore everything but point 8, right? Also, I offered an analogy comparing and contrasting the BPP with the Bloods, stating they need to get organized, get away from criminal behavior and tribal warfare. If they did, they could be a large army for the people. I was asked how to make that possible, and I answered they need to get a universal newspaper together that they could collectively contribute to. This was interpreted that I was trying to organize them. The Tier 3 hearing officer, Mr. March, dismissed the charge of 105.11, unauthorized addresses, and 105.14, unauthorized organization, finding me guilty of 105.13, gangs, 104.11, violent conduct, how conducting a class is violent, we don't know yet, and 104.12, demonstration. I've written to Prisoners Legal Services in Buffalo asking them to consider representing me on appeal. If they agree, I'll still be sitting here for 60 days waiting for a decision. As you know, I've been suffering intense harassment, first messing with my mail, trying to put me in chew for writing to IMWE Prisoner Advocacy Network, then denying me receipt of the militant newspaper, now succeeding by taking comments out of a 90-minute lecture and cobbling them into a narrative to fit rule violations, removing them from the original context and intent. Given the recent New York Times newspaper articles exposing the racist practices of both disciplinary hearings and parole board decisions, it is apparent the harsh penalty in this case coincides with the findings of the New York Times articles. In this regard, it is important that folk know this seemingly unrelenting harassment is consistent with the New York State Correctional Officers Association's alliance with the PBA's opposition to my release on parole. Of course, because he gets a hit, then they can deny him his appeal. With the growing and mounting campaign to persuade Governor Cuomo to grant my application to commute the sentence to time served, these entities are mounting a campaign to thwart any possibility for success at the parole board. We must vigorously condemn this disciplinary sanction and demand that it be reversed. But just as importantly, we need to further expose the racist nature of the disciplinary process and correctional guards / administrators' persistent efforts to prohibit my release on parole. In this regard, I also ask you to try to contact the writers of the New York Times articles and urge them to investigate this disciplinary sanction. They can get a copy of the videotape of the class and audio tapes from the hearing. Until next time, revolutionary love and unity, Jaleel. So, you know, if Jaleel can continue after all this time in prison to try to teach true history to people, who are we on the outside to do any less, right? And I agree with what Lynn said before. It is so important to write to everybody. It makes a huge difference. I would encourage everybody to write to Jaleel at this time. He also says that the only time he seems to be able to get books is when he's in the shoe. Now, of course, they have to come from the publisher. You can't just, like, send him a book. That would be nice. I got him a few books at Amazon. Burning Books is sending him in his own book, which he has not been allowed to have. And so if you think of any nice books that you think Jaleel might like to read, he's extremely erudite. You could send him history books. You could send him any books about the BPP. You could send him any kind of book that you like, and let's see if it gets in. And if you can't do that, do write a letter or send him a card, you know. Then they see, oh, boy, he's getting all this, you know, mail, which is good because they've been, you know, really harassing on the mail. And that would be very important. And also sign that petition for Matulu. And then one of our former political prisoners, Sekou Kambui, just got an update on his GoFundMe. He has not been feeling well lately and has been in and out of the hospital. If there were anything extra to give this holiday season, it would be the perfect time to do so. So once again, that is a link that you will find on jerichonline.org. Scroll down the left-hand column. You'll see it there. Sekou did a long time in prison, and when he was finally released, which everybody was shocked, you know, he finally got parole after I don't know how many years of being denied, and we were like, wow, how did that happen, right? Turns out they had told him while he was in prison that he had anemia because he was feeling very weak and he was losing weight. When he got to the halfway house, he found out that he had stage 4 liver cancer, all right? So Sekou is living with stage 4 liver cancer. He lives in Alabama. And if anybody has some extra money to spare, you know, you can go there too. It's really important. You know, he's one of our freedom fighters. He was also Black Liberation Army. I think he did more than 40 years in prison. You know, and he's a lovely brother. He was up here in New York. We did several events with him when he got out. Really wonderful human being. And, you know, really deserves any support we can give him. So not only do we have to support our brothers and sisters on the inside, we also have to support them when they get out, because they get out with nothing, as you know. You know, you spend 45 years in prison, and you get out, and they say, okay, here's your bus fare, goodbye, right? So you have nothing. You have nowhere to live, perhaps. Well, they won't let you out with nowhere to live, but you might be in a halfway house. You know, you don't have a job. It's not easy to get if you're a convicted felon. You know, you don't have any Social Security because you haven't worked for years and years, right? So, you know, this is a horrendous situation for everybody who gets out of prison. But certainly our freedom fighters should really feel that they do have some support from the community. You know, this is they're who they were fighting for. So if they're in there for us, we have to be out there for them all the time, 24/7, all the time. We can never stop. We cannot stop until each and every one of them comes home.
Thank you so much for that. And so in this Christmas season, let us spend less on gifts. But to tell the people that we would give a gift to, we're sending money to our political prisoners, the people in jail, and as Ann said, the people out of jail, because no movement can exist without support of those who supported the movement. We must remember that.
Right on.
That's right.
We are supporting ourselves. And with that, I could go on and on, but I'm going to switch to the 287-7588 if you would like to make a comment on the program. 287-7588, your mic is open. Are you there?
Okay. Hi, Ralph. This is Alina. Okay, I just want to thank you all for being truth tellers, because this is what we need, and keeping us in touch with reality, because it's really hard out here because we have so many distractions and we have to deal with so many lies all the time. And so I just really want to thank you, and we just have to keep moving forward and keep on with the struggle. Remember, this is not a movie. Don't look for a happy ending. Just be glad that we're able to struggle and appreciate those who have gone before us and made sacrifices.
Thank you so much for that. And this is a voice from the past who have been struggling, and I'm talking 50 years. The struggle for community control of our schools dates back to the realization that without an education or a job or the possibility of a job, very simple, a community is destroyed. Our communities have been destroyed by the Democratic Party, which we support over and over again. But we must remember that struggle is still real, and we see people are in line to get in charter schools. Who destroyed public schools? And I will tell you, in New York City, it was the UFT. We have to remember that. And we have to continue to struggle to control the money that is involved in education as well as the education of our students. And let us continue. Next up is Joe, are you on the line? All right, let us skip to. Who do we have here? Don't move the 347. Okay, which go to the next week. We have many out here.
I just wanted to remind you of what we mean by metaphysical imperialism. They're talking about Trump and hacking because they don't want to talk about the fact that the public has really not chosen either Trump or Hillary and what that means to democracy. And if they have to talk about democracy, then they have to explain the Electoral College. And as you guys have been discussing this evening, the Electoral College was there to keep us out. So the issue is, what are we going to do about it? The issue is, what can we do about it? And the issue is, we can organize our communities. We can use the institutions that belong to us to do that. The political prisoners, especially the Black Panthers, that's what they do, that's what they did. And we need to start focusing on what our political prisoners, a.k.a. Black Panthers, a.k.a. Black Liberation Army, did that was so successful that helped organize our communities. Because the disconnect we are seeing with regard to support for political prisoners is because a whole generation does not know about them. And the last thing I want to remind you about is when there was a scandal, Cervico, and the cops were shown to be taking drugs, et cetera, et cetera. They suddenly came up with the Rockefeller Laws, the MAP Commission, another example of how they use an issue to keep us from focusing on what's important. So let's not go for the hype. I don't give a you know what if the Russians are hacking. Who started the hacking in the first place? Does anybody know why America is after Assange? Let's get real. Let's start organizing. Let's support our political prisoners. Let's tell what they did and why they were put in jail. Let's try to get into those institutions, the hospitals, the churches, the schools, every opportunity we can to make people know what our history of struggle was all about. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Sister Betty. And let us remember, when we're talking about support, when you support the Democratic Party, you're supporting the Fraternal Order of Police, a right-wing fascist organization. When you talk about America being ungovernable, you have to remember when Obama was elected, the uptake of people purchasing AR-15s went off the charts. Now that Trump is being elected, has been elected, the upsurge continues. Understand that those AR-15s are in people's homes, and one day they're going to come out. And I say that to remind people that I use this term, Hitler, because we have been talked about Hitler, 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 Hitler. And as I say over and over again, he didn't do it by himself. And
that's
as
right.
Bill Kunstler reminds us, everything that was done in Germany was legal. And here we are in America where it is legal to kill black people under any pretense. It is legal to kill indigenous people under any pretense. And it is legal to kill anyone who supports these oppressed people. And so I get sick when I hear somebody say Mussolini, and they throw these words around. They're not talking about individuals. They're talking about a societal problem. The societal problem is racism, sexism, and their success as what they have done. I'm thinking of the history of movement. When I think of women's rights, in the end, in the final analysis, they had to give up black women. And today we're talking about rights, and black rights have not been discussed. They're not a part of the dialogue. As what is his name from Venezuela? From
Hugo
the dictator
Chavez,
chip of the two-party system. We're hung up in that. And as I talk to immigrants, and I will repeat this over and over again because people don't understand, when Trump says, make America great again, wait a minute. What made America wealthy? I'm not going to use the term great. What made America wealthy was free land, genocide. They killed the indigenous people, free slavery, free labor, slavery. And here we are today, the greatest uprising against slavery is in the prisons. People are oppressed, and they're in the prisons, and they organize against slavery, slave labor. And here we are, in this day and age, supporting Democrats. And honest to God, I want people to hear this. Here we are talking about demonstrating against Trump because Hillary was robbed. Hillary the slaver. What is slavery? Hillary worked to reduce the salary, the hourly wage, of 70 cents or 80 cents an hour to 50 cents and 40 cents an hour, and then stole the money that was for the earthquake relief. People had donated money. She stole it and then loaned it to companies to hire or employ Haitians at 40 cents an hour. That's slavery. What did we have to choose for? And I tell you, I voted for neither. I voted for free our political prisoners for president and reparations for vice president. This is the only issue.
Ralph, you better. Hillary was in Haiti. Make sure.
Just a reminder, all mics are open. Everyone, all mics are open. Feel free to chime in.
What did you want to remind me of, Lynn?
That Haiti, Hillary was in Haiti. But this is repeated all over the globe. And if it isn't a Hillary, it's another nameless person.
Right. They oppress people. They call it imperialism. And when anybody tells you about democracy, just remind them that the U.S. Marines took Aristide out of the palace in Haiti, and he got over 70% of the vote. They were never interested in democracy. It's just a game they play, and we play it with when we talk about it. I invite those on the line to just chime in for 1 minute, a little something new for this program. Your mics are open. I hear breathing, but I don't hear anyone speaking. I have taken the from the beginning of the program to give us time. The board is lit up, and so next week you will hear me in full force. I'll take that first 15 minutes if people don't use this opportunity to speak.
Well, I would like this opportunity to say that this has been a wonderful year with your radio show. I really enjoy it very much. I'm honored to be in such wonderful company. I'm looking forward to continuing it in the coming year. And somebody just asked me on Facebook what was my New Year's resolution, and I said to free all USL political prisoners and prisoners of war. So that is our goal, and we are sticking with it. And that's all I have to say about that. What's the call? For your mall.
Thank you so much for that. And that reminds me of Sherman Fred Hampton Jr. of Chicago. Is his credo. What's the call?
For your mall.
And we have last resolution, this year's resolution, and let's hope by next year we have some success. More success than we have had in the past. Mics are still open.
Yes, we are going to have more success than we have been having because we now know all of what we need to know to free ourselves in terms of knowing all about bringing in a new society. We have to know all about society, and at the core of every society is a person. You know, we got to get into the arenas that the 1% is in. You know, the Black Panthers, they used to have political education classes. The 1%, they have political education classes too. They just don't say it. The military is one of the key places where they carry out their education, their brainwashing to make society the way it is. The prison is another area, and schools, and that's why they only want certain kind of teachers in the school because they know that the teacher play a principal role in terms of brainwashing our young people, and so we got to know what it is exactly that they're doing, and we're going to discuss that in the future. And so once we are in that arena, we're going to beat them like we have beat them in every other arena. That's the final frontier, is the brainwashing frontier. And we beat them at everything else. We're going to beat them at that, too. Power to the people.
Well,
thank you so much. And I would like to add that today I heard a representative from North Carolina who was saying that he in Iraq, and he at Pakistan, and he came home and he was arrested. And I say, now there's been that story. He was fighting for the wrong people. He has to begin himself. With that, look forward to seeing all of you and listening to all of you.
Peace.
Peace.
wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish.